Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, you know, like anyone in this business, I want to do more things. I like, but I mean, at this point, though, if it's only Chucky, I'm totally cool with that. As long as Catherine, I don't have COVID, I'm cool.
Catherine, you ever do karaoke?
Honestly, I have a fear of karaoke.
Oh, really? That's one of your fears. Okay.
It is one of my fears. You know what it is? It's like when I first, I used to sing growing up. Okay. And as I got older, I got very nervous about it, but I did like off-Broadway tours.
Ooh.
So I used to like sing.
You should be great at karaoke, though.
I don't know. It's just like, it's like very out of my comfort zone. I get very nervous about it, singing in front of people now. Mm-hmm. And when I first got to LA, I got very drunk, and my friend worked at a karaoke bar, and she got me very drunk because I'd just gotten here. And it's the karaoke bar that by the Sony lot.
Okay.
The Sony lot. And so people will go hoping to get discovered. So like one guy brings his own mic stand.
Okay. All right.
And it's like very competitive karaoke. And I decided to get very drunk. And when this girl went up to sing Suddenly Seymour, I was like, can I sing with you? I know both parts. And she said no.
I just went this weekend. I never go. Uh-huh. But it wasn't at a public place. It was one of those private rooms that you had. Yeah. So it was just like our closest group of friends. So I think that's a good way to go about it if you have a fear of
private rooms.
Yeah. Because then we could get silly with it. I got to bring all my downriver trash from my upbringing. I sang some Kid Rock Cowboy.
Oh, nice.
I sang some Beck Loser. I got the real Slim Shady in there.
I really represented
my home state of Michigan, my awful upbringing.
When Jenna, Canel, and I do karaoke, we've done we tend to do System of a Down.
Oh, I was going to. Which song? BYOB?
No.
Or Chop Suey?
Chop Suey,
okay, Chop
obviously.
Because yeah.
You can just be like, well,
for sure.
And it works. And now on that note, welcome to Scream Dreams. That's my...
That's your Serge Tankian?
Yeah. See, this is why I shouldn't do karaoke. Welcome to Scream Dreams, the nightmares that shaped us. I'm Catherine Corcoran.
And I'm James A. Janisse. Here on Scream Dreams, we talk to your favorite filmmakers and creatives about the things that actually terrify them. And today, I'm so excited because we have Chucky's father here, Don Mancini.
Hello.
Hi, Don.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're so happy to have you. Chucky is one of my absolute favorite franchises.
Thank you.
I am a stalwart member of the Chucky army. I will defend him to the death.
I love it. Thank you.
Just big fan. So thank you for joining us.
It's great to be here.
I'm sure you get this question all the time, but what did you ever expect Chucky to be? The phenomenon that it is. I mean, of the slasher franchises, it's the most modern one. It's the newest, I think.
Is it? I guess it's, you know, we're turning out new stuff
more
in the way
regularly.
That those aren't.
Mm-hmm.
The series, but there is that Halloween series in the works, I've heard.
Yes.
And the Saw series.
And they've had movies.
Yeah.
Big, you know, movies that have done very well.
Yeah.
But thank you. What you said, and to answer your question, I dreamed of it, but I didn't really think it would happen. You know,
okay.
When I wrote that script when I was in school at UCLA, film school, this was in the mid 80s. So by that point, Nightmare on Elm Street, Halloween, Friday the 13th, they were already bona fide franchises.
Yeah.
So, you know, as a horror fan and someone who was trying to make my way in the business and get into horror filmmaking, that was a dream.
Yeah,
to have that. But it, you know, it felt like a dream. I didn't, when I wrote the script, I thought really I hoped to get an agent from it. That was really my big goal for that script. So, but I got incredibly lucky.
I read that it was very personal to you, like your identity as a queer filmmaker.
Well, I would say it's gotten increasingly personal. I mean, it's always any, you know, yeah, I think anything is personal for writers, of course, but it's gotten increasingly personal as, you know, I just started injecting more and more queer content into it. But I think even the first couple of movies, they're about a lonely little boy who has this male friend. It's not, I mean that as a joke. It's just kind of glib, but I mean, as a gay kid, I think I was, you know, kind of like a lot of gay boys, kind of alienated from my father, mm-hmm. from my family at times. And so I think that without making that aspect of my life explicit in the first couple of movies, I think that emotion is there. You know, someone, a kid who's lonely and wants a friend.
Yeah.
But of course, I mean, that for me was like my experience as a fledgling gay, but I think it's relatively universal for 100%. Lots of people. Yeah,
for sure. I have to tell you, I watched the season, or like where this, not the season finale, but I guess up to where you could, of the most recent series at Devin Sawa's house with our friends Spencer and Nadia, like under the stars. And it was
there.
Yeah, I don't know how we didn't meet. I think I was so, I have to tell you, I think I was just so awestruck that I was even there with you guys, that like I would even be allowed to like, because it was all during the strike.
Are you
and
friends
everything.
With Devin?
Yes. Yeah. So like just like be in the whole,
it was fun.
It was the coolest way to, like, by far one of the coolest ways I've ever watched any sort of horror
Well, they
movie,
have
TV show.
That house is
right?
outrageous.
It was, like, yeah. but I honestly, like, I was, I've never been more disappointed that there wasn't another episode. Like, of all the things in this, right, it was, and, like, spoilers, but the cliffhanger that they leave you on is just so, and it's campy and silly. Like, I was laughing. I had such a good time with it, and which I don't always have, I think, you know, in the slasher realm. I kind of am like, okay, more gore, and it was just fun. It was just plain fun.
Yeah, it was, I mean, that wasn't, you know, that was not designed to be a cliffhanger exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, episode 4 of 8. And, you know, we got like everything else last year waylaid by the strikes. So we had to shut down and then regroup. But it was just fortuitous for us that episode, I mean, you kind of often do that in mid-season, you know, you want a big turn. But that was, you know, it's a really big one because it's like when we first unveil stage 1 of Chucky's aging look. It's only stage 1. It gets worse. And more fun.
When did you find out the strike was going to interrupt the process?
Well, I mean, from the point that we started working on season 3, which was over a year ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, the writer's room we started in January 2023, we knew that a potential writer's strike was looming. So right out of the gate there, we had to have all 8 episodes written by before May 1st.
Jeez.
Because May 1st is when we knew that the contract was over, and if there was going to be a strike, that's when it was going to happen.
Yeah.
So that, right, and from the start was really tough, you know, just
tight.
To have to get all of that written, but, you know, so quickly.
How big's your room?
7.
Okay.
7, 8. Yeah. I mean, there's like 7 writers and then, you know, our script coordinator and assistant, both of who I always, having, you know, learned this from Nick Antosca and Brian Fuller, because they do this too. They always give an episode to them as well to help them along. And it's always great to do that. And so 9 of us, I guess.
Oh. Did you start muttering a voodoo curse or something while we...
I think it was an incantation.
Oh, you know what? If I may, I think I know this one.
Oh, go for it.
Ade due Barbara, give me the Crampton, I beg of you!
Oh my god, it's Don!
You're here.
It worked, Don Mancini! Yeah.
Maybe you haven't talked about that yet, though. we filmed this segment at the end of when you guys have talked.
You're pulling back that curtain?
You're telling breaking the fourth wall.
I'm watching the whole episode.
Everybody thought you actually do this.
That you apparate.
I'm sitting next to Tom, and we're kind of, you know, keeping everything going. And yes, I was the one that yelled civilized.
Thank God, because it was driving me crazy couldn't think. Was I saying civic?
Yeah, there was.
Couldn't think.
No, you weren't saying civic. You were saying it was like normal, or we want to nice, be good to polite. Each other. And I'm like, wait, what word is that? Civilized. There is that word.
Yeah. It's like, you know, when you have to go to the airport, but you don't have to leave until noon. That's civilized.
That's me all the time.
Yeah.
I don't want to have any flights anywhere before noon. I don't want to get up early because then I'm not going to have enough sleep, and that's when you get sick on the flight.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because it's sleep that helps your immune system.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If you have to get up at 4 in the morning for a 6 o'clock flight, you are going to get sick.
That's
mm-hmm.
why we're always sick at the conventions.
Yep.
Because we don't sleep. We get up, we go, and then we get on the plane on the Sunday.
That's why you have to go on the Thursday before the convention, mm-hmm. and then you can't go home until Monday. Have a civilized meal on Sunday night.
It's uncivilized to have to get up at 4 in the morning.
No, I'm not doing that.
Uncivilized.
Yeah, downright barbaric.
I like this. I'm going to start saying this.
We'll give you a lot of... Us old people will give you a lot of clues for life. I'm just going...
Anything I don't like, I'm just going to say is uncivilized.
It's uncivilized, yeah.
That's uncivilized.
Yeah.
I bet it'll be more like appropriate than we can imagine.
Yeah. Well, we were talking earlier just before the camera started rolling again about dialogue and how you said you love good dialogue.
It's really important to me. And I like to think it's one of the things that sets our franchise mm-hmm. apart a bit.
Yeah.
But maybe that's my own delusion.
I mean, it sounds good to me.
I mean, he's one of the most talkative horror icons.
He's very chatty. Right. He's very chatty.
Especially the slashers. Yeah. Many of the slashers don't say anything.
Well, that's the thing. It's like a lot of the slashers are this visage that doesn't speak or talk, and you're so scared of just the look of this thing that you can't reason with, you know? Mm-hmm. But Chucky is completely different. Chucky, I mean, you can't really reason with Chucky either, but... At least he talks.
You can talk back,
and you know.
I feel like you can reason with him a little bit.
I feel like he would like negotiate. I don't know if he'd like.
Reason. He does it. He engages snarkily. With his victims, probably more than most.
Yeah,
I think so. Yes.
Yeah.
And let's talk about that Tiffany Valentine. Let's talk about Jennifer.
Okay. Oh man,
amazing.
She's amazing.
I mean, and
she's great.
And I know that you know she. Everybody knows she plays a lot of poker, mm-hmm. and. You know, at different times, I think people have talked to her about doing other movie roles and things. She's like, I'm playing poker. And then when this came around, did you have to talk her into doing it at first or no?
No, why did she say that?
Well, she didn't say that, but I got this sense, and I don't know where I got it from, because we have a lot of mutual friends, and I know Jennifer, but I had this... sense that maybe she was like, she was good if she didn't act again.
Oh, I think that is true. Yeah. Yes. I think Jennifer is, I think, one of the happiest people I know, like genuinely happy. And why shouldn't she be?
She's a celebratory person.
But she is. Yeah. She really, you know, she's not, she is, last summer during the strike, oh, now I don't know if I can tell this story.
Oh, go ahead.
I can tell the story, but like I can't. She was basically I'm not going to tell you how this connects to the strike, but she was just like she was being philosophical, and she was like saying, "People just." She was referring to a specific person. I'll tell you after. Just need to relax. Life is almost over. And I just thought that was so funny. And we say it to each other all the time.
Life
is almost over. So be happy.
Right.
It's more of our franchise's dark humor.
It's almost done. Don't worry about it.
We need to put that in Tiffany's mouth.
I was going to say, isn't she friends with one of the Real Housewives?
Sutton.
Yes, okay. I watched for them this season.
Yes, so
because I don't watch those shows, but when I heard that she occasionally appeared in some episodes,
yes.
I looked up the discussions about those episodes, and I just remember everyone being like, Jennifer Tilly's too normal to be on this show. And just like, she seems too well adjusted to be
I think that's on probably this show, true.
Which is so funny to see that, like,
well, I think that conversation show is sort of, you know, they script that show.
It's way over the top. Yeah.
I mean, because, Sutton, I know Sutton a little bit now through Jennifer, and she was on the show last year. She seems pretty happy and well adjusted. Yeah.
Oh, that's why I looked it up.
But these people have mansions in Bel Air. Why should they?
Yeah. Why should they?
But I do know people who have mansions in Bel Air who are not happy.
Right. Yeah. And I know that they made Lisa Rinna into being, you know, the bad guy early on purpose. They wanted her to be the person that you didn't like.
Characters.
With Lisa Rinna's participation, was Lisa Rinna?
Yes, she knew that. It. You know, I mean, I don't think I'm telling stories out of school, but she's told me that you know, they said, well, you know, they feed into that, whatever is going on, they'll say, okay, whatever the dynamic is, okay, Lisa, you're the bad guy now, and then you do this, and then I think it was weighing on Lisa, and she just
because I think people do think it's real. I remember when I lived in New York, I worked at a restaurant that they filmed in. I think it was like the New Jersey ones or whatever. And it was like a real film set. There's a video village. They light it. They have them come in and do their entrances multiple times. Yeah. They have them redo things. Like, it's the same thing.
The casual viewer has no idea. They think it's just a camera and that all this is happening in real time.
I think they probably, the producers, try to create the chaos as well.
Yeah.
You know, and then it probably does feed into the individual ladies' demeanor and how they also feel about each other. I would think. I don't know anything about reality TV.
No,
I'm just assuming.
I don't know
that.
If I could do it.
I want to do Real Housewives of Horror.
Real Housewives of Horror.
Oh my god, that's a great idea.
Yeah, your whole group chat in.
That would be hilarious. Oh my god,
and
the
my
Real
house
Housewives
is,
of Horror. That is a great.
Yeah, we could film
idea.
It at my house.
I would totally.
And
could.
Yeah,
we
and,
should do it. We should like do a scripted version. Like obviously, like we're talking about, it's all kind of scripted. But like a little like you know, spin-off like parody. We totally should.
I think we should do
and
that.
Everybody actually is their characters from their films in real life. Right. Like, we're having identity crises all the time.
I think that's good.
I'm constantly thinking that I'm falling open.
Yeah.
Guys, you can't see my stitches. Catherine, you don't have stitches. It's not real.
Yeah. You're fine. Your body's fine.
Yeah. But again, everyone's too well adjusted, I think, for that in the horror space.
Yes.
Seems like.
I think you have to be.
Well, I think people who work in horror, we've often talked about this, especially at conventions, that people who love horror and work in horror are very well adjusted because we deal with our fears and overcoming them. And usually there's somebody within our story that we've either written or directed or acted in.
Yeah.
Or watched, that overcomes adversity and is that final guy or girl that you know, wins the day, and we face our fears and we overcome them.
Yeah
We're not afraid to look at the bad stuff.
No,
you have to.
Plus I think working in horror is just fun.
It's fun.
It's fun and keeps you young.
It's
fun
because some of the stuff you're doing, it's just like, oh yeah, so today we are severing heads. Great.
Yeah. Just did that on Suitable Flush.
You have to have a sense of humor about it.
Yeah. Okay, we're getting to this part where we're going to do what I came here to do, and that is called the sidebar. So we, speaking of having fun, playing games, we're going to play a game.
Nice chance.
That was good.
So I'm going to have to read this because it was...
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm getting persistently...
Let's see. Don's... being messaged, so.
Oh, it's not important.
Okay, good. All right.
It's Jennifer. No.
It's Jennifer. And say hi to Jennifer. I love Jennifer. Yes. And I just think she's doing tremendous work in the show.
She's amazing. And
she's so talented.
She's a force of nature.
And back to Jennifer for one second. She walks into a room or she does anything or you look at her Instagram or social media. She is just, like you're saying, the happiest person. Like, she wants to entertain everybody and have everybody have a good time in her presence. And she always makes sure of that when you're around her.
She is the easiest interview ever, because you ask one question,
And then she just goes.
And that's it. Yep. That's all you need to do.
Did you have her on
and
your show?
We did the Chucky season 2 after show and got to speak to Jennifer and Brad, which was amazing, and Don a couple of times and just all sorts of people.
I've never met Brad.
Hopefully we can have her on our show.
It's just a Zoom, but he's great. And we talked about, Chelsea and I talked with him about Myst 3, an old computer game he was in. And actually, we just bought an action figure of his character from that game. So if he's at any convention,
does he play that game?
He played. I think he said he played
really
it when he came out.
He's really into games.
Yeah, and he loved the Myst series, which is what my dad always played when I was growing up. And so we played Myst 3. He's in it, and we just for Christmas, my wife got me an action figure of his character. And so we're hoping to run into him at a convention or something and get him to sign
Does he go to that many conventions?
He goes
Look at the lineup of the
what's
ones you're on.
There's one that's coming up shortly.
Whorehound. Monster Mania.
I think Monster Mania.
The bigger
ones.
Not at that
one. I think he's going to Monster Mania.
I'm going to try to go.
Okay, if you go, I might give you my action figure to get signed.
Actually, somebody just canceled. Barbara Steele canceled. Maybe I can take her spot.
Oh, another Barbara. All they got to do is change the last name.
Yeah, it makes it easy. I like that idea.
Brad.
He's very cool.
He's so
cool. And we had, he was on set because he's physically in the show. Mm-hmm. Spoil something? I feel like did we see that? I just forget like what has aired.
Yeah, right. It's all running together. With it.
Anyway, Brad is physically in the show. In a way I won't detail too much, but it was so great having him on set. As it was the last time he was on set was like 10 years ago when we did Curse of Chucky, because he was in a couple of flashback scenes, and it's always just so great having him around because it's like Chucky's in the house. And it just, everyone's kind of on their toes, and he's like Jennifer in that he's just a bit of a master of ceremonies, and he sets a tone, and it's great. So you must meet him.
They're both like Danny Kaye people then. Like, the old Danny, Danny Kaye. He would come into any room, and he was on a set, and they said he always set the tone, and it was so fun. Yeah.
That's awesome.
He's my favorite performer, so I always think of Danny.
Maybe
Brad is?
No, Danny Kaye. Made me want to be an actress. Watching old Danny Kaye movies. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I never told that story?
No.
I'll tell it another time. We got to go. Okay, this game.
This is a limited incantation here.
it's hard to find the motivation to have a balanced diet when you're cooking everything from scratch and spending hours chopping vegetables.
But Factor has a solution. Factor sends chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals right to your door. All you have to do is heat them up.
Yeah, they have dozens of meal options to choose from and more than 60 add-on items to shake things up.
Whether you're a vegan, a vegetarian, counting calories, or keto, Factor has the meals that you'll love without the piles of dirty dishes. Do you use Factor, James?
Yeah, because I hate dirty dishes and I hate spending time cooking. I don't have that time.
I know, it's a bummer because I love to cook, but I feel like just in the day and with all the stuff that we do, I just don't have time, and then I sacrifice health over, eating something quick. But with Factor, I don't have to do that because it comes straight to your door.
You have convenience and good food.
Yeah, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime. So when we're traveling, we're doing conventions, doesn't matter. We can just pick them back up. Factor works with you and for you.
That's right. Head to factormeals.com/screamdreams50 and use code screamdreams50 to get 50% off.
Yeah, that's code screamdreams50.
50.
At factormeals.com/screamdreams50 to get 50% off. You know what's a nightmare? Dehydration.
Yeah, you know what's an even worse nightmare? Plastic pollution.
That's why we love Liquid Death and their evil mission to murder your thirst and kill plastic pollution.
That's right. Their aluminum cans are as metal as they get. So pick some up today, because we all need something refreshing to reach for when we wake up from a nightmare.
It's true. Cheers.
Once again, Catherine comes up with the greatest games. Escape the nightmare. In this game, our guests will be presented with a vivid nightmare scenario that could exist in the Chucky franchise universe. The challenge is to come up with a creative and imaginative escape plan. Each time the guest comes up with an escape plan, a host, one of us, will counter with an obstacle which would keep them in the terrifying dream scenario. The guest's goal is to continue to come up with an escape strategy until they finally wake up from the nightmare. Mm-hmm. We'll release you at some point, don't worry. And I'm going to go with what you have here.
Okay.
Because I think you're going with some things that are from my own history, too, in a way, and like combining this.
I'm glad you got that. I try my best.
Yeah.
I don't write these things.
No, it's like an intuitive thing you have, and we're friends. And so you kind of know my life. So you are attending your local carnival.
As one does.
And you want to go on one last ride before the fair closes down for the evening. Unfortunately, the closing staff doesn't see you enter.
Unseen.
Uh-huh. And then you go into this fun house.
And I get locked in?
You get locked in. You got it. Alone in this dimly lit room, you find yourself surrounded by rows of good guy dolls. If anybody can get out of this, you can. Each turning their plastic heads towards you. Are they plastic? I don't know.
Are they rubber? Are they plastic?
Rubber. They're probably.
That's think... a, you know, Jennifer has that line in Bride of Chucky.
I totally forgot about that.
When they're having sex.
Yeah.
And she says, Chucky, do you have a rubber? He goes, Tiff, look at me. I'm all rubber.
Oh, okay, rubber. And okay, then, so rubber doll. Yeah,
you were plastic.
Yeah, okay.
And they improvise.
That's good. I totally forgot about that.
You must have seen that, so that was in your mind too. So you're surrounded by these rubber good guy dolls, and then you hear, "Hi, I'm Chucky. Want to play?" You realize that these are no ordinary dolls. Each doll bears the voice of a notorious serial killer, and the voodoo transfer has happened. The ritual and their souls are all in all the different good guy dolls. Their laughter echoes with malice. The funhouse maze is merely a way for them to capture their next victim, and they're coming for you next. What do you do?
Well, I think first I would just, you know, throw myself on the mercy of the court and say to them the old Hollywood line, "Don't you know who I am?"
Oh, I created you.
You can't kill me. So I assume they anticipated that. Mm-hmm. What do they say to me? Right? Like, so does that,
that's
like,
good.
Does,
okay.
Like, hey,
that's your first offense,
I'm
yeah.
like, okay. I am mm-hmm. someone who has worked for the cause of horror for the past 40 years. Can't you cut me a break? Because I'm going to go out there and do more of your good work.
Okay.
And one of the many good guy dolls says to you, "Do you think I give a shit? I'm trapped in this fucking doll. I don't care what that you've created them. I'm Chucky." And then and you say, "But Chucky, technically I'm your father." And he said, "I never had a good relationship with my father." And he jumps off the wall and he's coming at you with a knife. And then
we go back to Dawn.
I dodge, obviously. I feel like I could, something, you know, D. Snyder is?
Yeah.
He hates Chucky.
Really? What do you mean?
Hates Chucky. Oh, wow. Because he says, it's just stupid. You could just kick him.
Mm-hmm.
But D. Snyder aside, I feel like these dolls are just little, 2 foot tall. So I feel like at this stage, I could parry this
idea
attack. Well, this attack.
Yeah.
You know, I could like fend them off.
Kick.
Yeah. Okay. I think I would survive that.
You would just start kicking.
Yeah, because I'm not gonna like. Do they have me surrounded?
Well, just one right now.
Okay, it's just one.
Oh, there's just one.
One has jumped off so far.
Yeah,
the others are
because so much of the way. Okay. Killer dolls like mm-hmm. Chucky operate is by stealth and by, you know, they're anonymous in a way. They're not like Frankenstein or Freddy or Jason. You don't know you're in the room with the creature that wants to kill you. But so that's how Chucky is able to get around his you know, disadvantages with regard to size and whatnot. But in this case, I know, you know, they're revealing themselves to me. So I'm, you know, on the defensive. So I think I can.
And you know their weaknesses.
I can parry. Well, one, their first weakness is their size. Yeah. And if since they're not being secretive, like I would have said, like, you guys are idiots. You need me to operate as Killer Dolls. Let me explain to you. And I would explain to you what you were just like saying. It's like you need to be secret. That's your secret weapon. Is that like people, because you're little and cute, people will come to you. You don't have to bother going to them.
You don't have to.
So
tell
the fact
them.
That you have revealed yourself to me you is your first
up.
Mistake.
You guys fucked it up.
Yeah.
Well, no. That one Chucky hears you say all this and says, yeah, that's great, old man, but turns out we don't need to listen to you or learn from you anymore. We've taught ourselves some new tricks, and all the other Chuckies start to coagulate into a sort of Voltron that are going to overcome
the scary.
Yes, it is. It is a Chucky amalgamation that is no longer has the downside of small size, because now they stand 9 feet tall, all assembled, each holding on to each other's limbs and working.
Oh, that, like that Clive Barker story.
Oh,
Clive Barker story.
It sounds like a Barker story. Yeah.
In the hills, the cities, I think it's called. Or
well, like what happens? How do you get by that?
Yeah. Now you have a giant.
Well, part of me, I feel like I would partly have the impulse that I would probably need to ignore, which is to ecstatically give myself up to them.
You'd be like, and, yes,
and submit.
We have had a guest just give up at one point.
Well, but. It wouldn't even be giving up. It would be more like in or like in Evil Dead, or not Evil Dead, in Hellraiser.
Okay.
You know, in Hellraiser 2, remember that guy says,
yeah, Doctor.
And to think I hesitated.
Yeah, yeah.
Just what to me sums up the appeal of those movies, as I tell my friend Ashley Lawrence.
How you want to die, like. You know,
So I feel like that, I would have the impulse in my head at that point in thinking, I will go down in history. I'll become infamous by being killed by all these Chuckies, and that would be attractive. But I feel like I could still talk my way out of it. Mm-hmm. I could just like say, no, there are so many pitfalls awaiting you guys that you have no idea. I've been thinking about this for 40 years. I know all the angles. You would be stupid to kill me right now. Okay. So it would be kind of like a Bond movie. You know how like Goldfinger is going to kill Bond, you know, with the laser coming up to his crotch. And there's like, no, I know too much. And so Goldfinger goes, okay, you're right. You have a stay of execution.
Okay. So. But I have one more thing I want to throw in there then. Okay. I want to throw in that they actually want you to become them. So they want your essence to be uploaded into the doll. So you are actually Chucky.
I would do that.
So, okay.
I would totally do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I would like to experience that character from the other side. Absolutely. I want to know what it feels like. I mean, I might muck it up for them because I probably wouldn't be a great killer in a lot of ways. They would have to teach me the ropes.
Yeah,
but I could also like secretly subvert them, maybe.
But let's say that all the angst that you felt growing up as a child and how you created Chucky and what that was, you can finally realize whatever you wanted to do to civilized in a civilized matter get back at these people. So you are Chucky, and how would you get back at those people if you were? Now that ritual was complete, and now you were the essence of Chucky.
You woke up in a childhood bed, like as Chucky.
Oh, I would just mail myself to my biggest enemy, and you know, they would receive this doll and think, oh, someone sent me a Chucky doll. How cute!
Yeah,
and I would kill
and
them.
That would be the end.
Pull out my list and go on to my number two.
Just keep mailing yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know. We didn't really get out of it.
I became a killer.
Became a killer.
I mean, that we were talking about the, you know, Hannibal, the movie in the book Hannibal, which if you've read it, you know that, like, you know, Clarice goes over to his side at the end.
Yeah.
Which a lot of readers hated, and they changed for the movie. I loved it.
Oh,
I loved it because I thought that is worse. than him killing her.
Yeah.
That him seducing her and brainwashing her as he did. Oh, I thought just, that was
she's
like.
She's become everything she's
I mean, most people agree with you. Most
people. Yeah. That's the point. But, like, you know, it's like you become that which you hate the most.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's like why it's so upsetting.
Yeah. So that appeals to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love how you didn't escape the nightmare. You became the nightmare.
You became your own nightmare.
I love it.
Great.
Yeah.
Has any of your guests done that before?
We've had a couple of episodes of some of these games we've played more than once, but nobody's ever just become the nightmare.
No.
Like, people have gotten out of
the
nightmare.
I like this.
Yeah.
But
this is special. This is a special one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely groundbreaking.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, this has been great. I know you guys have more to discuss, so I'm going to say goodbye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh! She's gone. I guess it doesn't last forever.
She would only grace us with her presence, but, you know, there's a lot. She has to spread it around.
Yeah, it's important.
The Barbara
you know?
Crampton Goodwill.
The curses are only for a limited time.
Yeah, I got
Warranty.
It.
Warranty.
It's fair.
You tend to keep the people who you meet and like around as friends, like the Chucky series, even before it was a TV show, you continually brought back a lot of the same crew, not just cast, but like crew members too.
Yeah.
And I feel like you and Mike Flanagan both do that sort of thing where it's just like you keep a family crew. And it's just always so wonderful to hear people in those positions talk about how wonderful being on set is because of that.
Oh yeah, I think it just makes it so much more joyous. And our experience throughout this entire franchise has been mostly joyous in the making of it, and the people involved, and that we've all known and worked with one another for, you know, some of us for decades going back. So I suppose I did glean some of that from the De Laurentiises, but I think also it's like, I'm sure you guys have read a lot about Baz Luhrmann and how, like, you know, Baz Luhrmann and his wife, Catherine Martin, you know, is his production designer. And I've read accounts of them. It's like they'll, you know, they would have these crazy weekends where they'd all be drinking absinthe together and stuff. And they're just like, oh my God, that sounds amazing, right? You know, I think
you're like,
that
well,
joy
I'm making spaghetti, but you know,
right? Oh, but my God, the spaghetti at the De Laurentiis is amazing.
The psychedelic spaghetti, I can get on board with that. What is like the ultimate? Like, what is the dream? We like Chucky or otherwise for you? I mean, you've done so much. You've done so many different films, recognizable franchise, a giant television show. What do you feel is next? Like, what's like, what are you still wanting to do? What's like
with Chucky specifically, or in general? I mean, you know, like anyone in this business, I want to do more things. I like, but I mean, at this point though, if it's only Chucky, I'm totally cool with that. I have other things I want to do. I'm working on a new pilot. Uh-huh. I'm also actually in the early stages of working on a new Chucky movie.
Oh,
okay. Great.
Yeah, I like at this point my goal is just to keep working.
Yeah.
Whatever keeps me working, I'm very happy.
Yeah, but is there anything like creatively within like genre you'd want to
like specific
with?
Stuff?
Yeah, like would you want to go in a completely different direction? Would you want to go like psychological drama?
I would love to do just a De Palma fan, so anything
like that or?
Oh yeah, I would love to do like a De Palma-esque thriller, absolutely. I'd love to do comedies.
Wow.
I love comedies.
Well, Chucky is really
is a
dark
comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, it spans genres. It makes sense.
And well, I think even some of the stuff with the Tiffany character and Jennifer Tilly, it's not even it's not all dark.
It's pure just, camp.
Just
sometimes.
Insanity.
Yeah, it's so good.
I would love. Although someone just is, they announced someone else is doing it. I would love to do Bewitched. That's
oh,
what I would like to
okay.
do. A reinvention of Bewitched, but and someone else is doing that.
Not bring back Will Ferrell?
I love Will Ferrell, but no, that I don't know what they were smoking when they made that movie, which is weird because I mean, that movie was all meta, you know,
I didn't see it. Was it like a meta thing?
It's like, why?
Okay.
You know, it's just like took place in Hollywood and they're rebooting the Bewitched TV series.
Oh, I had no idea that was the premise.
It was so lame.
Oh, wow.
But then I thought, like, wait a minute. that's exactly what I did with Seed of Chucky.
Yeah, right there on the set.
You're like, I learned. Have you guys learned nothing? Did you guys not see?
Right, what was wrong with you, Nora Ephron? Didn't you see?
Didn't you watch my films
before? Bewitched would be one of them, yes. I would love to, if they would hire me to write Devil Wears Prada 2.
Oh my god.
Like every other gay writer in town.
No, but I could see it would be so good. Are you a fashion person? Is that like
not that's you probably know. Why it would I be mean better. I'm, I mean not like, you know, I don't look terrible, do I? But I like I'm not, you know, I dress up well when I need to. But no, I'm more interested in it. I'm interested in it as sociologically, I think.
Okay.
Culturally, I find it fascinating. And I love getting involved in costumes on the movies and the TV show. I mean, any of the various departments, it's just fun to look at what you're doing through those specific lenses, you know, and what are the, you know, how do you dress these people to help evoke their characters? Yeah. I find that fascinating. But in my own life sometimes, you know, I'm really just a jeans and t-shirt guy.
Yeah, but even that tells a story, right? That's like one of that's like, this is actor hippy-dippy shit. But they, you know, what you wear tells a story, right? Because it's how you're presenting yourself into the world. And you're choosing, that's all very Devil Wears Prada, where the whole monologue where she's like, and you think that by wearing this dumpy sweater.
I could perform
sweater,
that for you by heart.
Please, please.
I don't know that you want to take a, I could do it, but I don't know that you want to take a
for the rest of this podcast.
But that's the whole thing,
the
right?
The cerulean like, speech.
The cerulean sweater. It's, what is it? It's not blue. It's not lapis. It's cerulean.
Actually, cerulean. You're also blithely unaware of the fact that 2001, it was Oscar de la Renta did a series of cerulean gowns, and it was Yves Saint Laurent one who showed cerulean military jackets. Anyway, great speech.
And then it made its way down into department stores where you were like...
on down through the department stores where it wound up in some tragic casual corner where you no doubt fished it out of some clearance bin. But it's... And then how did it... But that sweater represents millions of dollars and countless jobs. And it's sort of comical how you think you've made a choice that exempts you from the fashion industry when in fact that sweater was selected for you by the people in this room from a pile of stuff. It's Aline McKenna. She's like, my God.
So good.
I met her once. And was like,
did you recite that monologue?
She wouldn't let me.
Please, it happens every day of my life.
I did it with Emily Blunt once.
No, you didn't. Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Was very nice about it.
That's amazing. But again, it's true though, right? It's like what you put on your body is you're thinking that you're telling a story with it, but like that's the whole point. You're a storyteller, and so you're telling a story today.
I mean, obviously I have a show to sell, so I'm like, I have a Chucky t-shirt, but I have a vast collection of movie t-shirts that I wear a different one on set every day. And I just like, it's great conversation starter.
Yeah.
You know?
Like disarms everybody.
Yeah, but I worry that I'm getting too old for it now. That I need
absolutely
to,
not. Like, I think it reminds everyone why you're there, right?
Yeah. Well, and it's also one of the fun things about this job. I mean, I know people dress differently. I know, like, Sam Raimi, for example, was like Hitchcock would always wear the coat and tie. I, on the other hand, if it's summer, like the rest of the crew, I'm there in shorts, t-shirt, you know, cargo shorts, which, you know, as a gay man, I'm not allowed to wear anywhere except on set.
You get fulfilled. Yep. I understand.
But, you know, but they're practical. Sure. And also when in Rome, you know, you're just like, I'm part of the crew. And I think that's part of it also. Because like I want, like one director I've worked with, John Hyams, on our show, he said, you're the most egalitarian showrunner that he had ever met. And I thought that was nice.
Yeah, that's a compliment. I liked that. For sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man of the people.
There you go. I couldn't get away with being pretentious. I couldn't pull it off.
The Don, man of the people, that's what you can say.
Well, in Italy, and I've spent some time in Italy, partly with Raffaella De Laurentiis, but also when I was in school, I studied Italian for a summer. But they couldn't call me Don in Italy because that has a whole other connotation. Uh-huh. But my first name is George, so I was Giorgio. Giorgio.
Oh, okay. Where does Don come from then?
It's my middle name.
Okay.
I was middle name after my godfather.
And how long have you gone by?
My whole life.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, when I was little, Donald, Donnie. Mm-hmm. Some people, like my partner, calls me Donnie.
But it was never George, like growing up? Or
no, never. Okay. But in Italy, it was.
That's the
only time. I liked it. You know, yeah.
Dual identity.
I could be a different person in Italy, yeah.
Well, on this show, we always ask people.
Wait, hold on. I want to interject here before we do the nightlight, because it's been burning me, and I just gotta ask.
So
for Chucky season 3, and for the haunted the Universal house, it was leaning into Chucky's kill count. I want to know who came up with that angle for the marketing.
That was. I thought of you when that happened.
A lot of people were like, "Hey, are you doing this?" I was like, "No. I mean, kill counts are, it's not just me, but
that was, I think, their idea.
Okay,
I was like going to say Michael Aiello, but he's Orlando. But they did some things like there's one in Orlando and Japan as well, and they were all different.
Oh, like it was the theme park.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's a Chucky maze. I mean, there's been a Chucky maze at the one in Japan for 5 years running.
Oh, nice.
Which is insane. And it's and very Glenda Gigi based. Because that character is huge in Japan.
In Japan? Really?
Yeah. That's interesting.
Awesome. Yeah. So they've had a kind of Tiffany, Gigi, Glenda thing in Japan for a while, but then the Orlando one was different, slightly different. There was a little bit of overlap, but I think that was their idea. But I thought, like, you know, I helped steer them toward certain kills that I thought might be effective. But I thought they did an amazing job.
It's
that
a fun premise really for fun, it, especially when it's all the boxes when you first walk in.
Yeah,
that's like one of the best set pieces ever at the end of Child's
Play. It was very cool. Yeah. And I was there on Halloween night.
Oh, actually. Cool.
I went with Jennifer and the kids.
Nice. I think I went really on the 30th, like the night before.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you came in and talked about the vomiting Chucky.
Oh yeah, I got hit in the face by the water spray.
That's awesome.
Like I turned the corner and was like, "What's over here?" And then got hit in the face by some Chucky vomit. I was like,
"That's
yeah.
perfect." Yeah. And then the actress Barbara Woods was with us too.
Oh,
and
she's so good.
She's amazing. And in the maze, she was represented with Chucky slicing her down the middle. And so, you know, she was like lounging there so we could get pictures of her.
That's so cool.
So I am going to bring it back just because we cannot keep you here all day, even though we'd love to. We ask people on this show what their nightlight is. And what we mean by that is, amidst all the dark and scary things in the world or nightmares themselves, what is the thing that keeps you going? That's the light at the end of the tunnel that when you wake up from the bad dream lets you know it's all going to be okay.
Let's see. I mean, my partner probably. Aww. Is that lame?
No. That was my answer.
Yeah. Sometimes I think that's like how my partner, my family, you know, just the typical things. That's not a very interesting answer though, so I feel like I should come up with something better.
You're running the writer's room now. You're like, boring. Take something
different angle.
You know, whatever the promise of renewal, I guess. Uh-huh. You know, I think of another advantage of age is you find, like, just going through the various traumas and crises of one's life that we all live, after they pile up enough that you realize the adage, what is the adage, this too shall pass?
Yeah.
Like it probably took me 40 years to get there, 45 years to get there, but I think I don't panic as much at whatever bad thing I'm facing. But now I'm now terrified of having said that, because it feels like, you know, it's inviting some new challenge.
We'll knock on wood for you right now. I'm trying to find some right now.
Yes. But yeah, I think it's just my family, my loved ones, the cats.
No, and it makes sense. When you're talking about those ups and downs, like that's what gets you through it.
Yeah,
you know, the perspective.
Your family was around.
Well, but also in this I'm just trying to think of more interesting things to lacquer onto this response, but also people like yourselves and the fans that, you know, it doesn't suck to be 61 years old and have kids and young people come up to you and they want to talk about what you do.
Yeah.
And I feel like in the world and in our culture, but it's probably a world thing, it's a human thing, that the feeling of not being heard, and I think that gets worse as you age. I mean, it's just a part of life, unfortunately. Yeah. I mean, it is, you know, ageism is a part of our industry, but it's also just a part of life, I think. Yeah. And it's a frustrating thing to deal with. And I'm, the older I get, the more acutely aware of how I'm a bit cocooned from that or protected from that phenomenon because of what I do, because of the job that I have and the success that I've been lucky enough to have, that people care, they want to talk to me.
Yeah.
And that is probably the biggest gift that any of us can have in life, that to be heard, you know?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, that's, you just like, my brain, like,
well, I felt obliged to give a better answer.
No, that's
my partner and my cats.
Yeah. No, truly, I say it all the time when I'm in my dark, like, deep, you know, dips. I'm always like, I just don't feel like people see me. I feel like they don't hear me. I feel like, you know, we talk about that, like, you just get stuck in this box and you're just like, no one sees me. They just don't care. They don't. But like the fact that we can put work out as storytellers, and therefore people have to hear us, regardless of whether they like it or not, you know.
Well, they don't have to, though. I mean, that's like true. They, you know, they sometimes you do something like Child's Play 3. They ignore it, and they're not. They don't want to hear what you have to say.
But it still exists, right? And there will always be people that it does resonate with, and who want to talk to you about it. Always.
Yeah. And it's super nice.
That's amazing perspective.
Wow. Oh my God. Well, on that amazing note, Don Mancini, whichever we're going with.
Let's go with Mancini. Just try to make that
Let's
happen.
Let's just try to confuse people. Yeah. Too.
Mancini, please. Mancini. Dino De Laurentiis would have insisted, and he did.
Thank you for being with us. When can everyone catch the rest of season 3?
April 10th.
Yeah.
We start April 10th. So Wednesday nights, we're at 10 o'clock this season.
Okay.
We used to be at 9, now we're at 10. So every Wednesday starting from April 10th, and the finale is on May 1st.
Oh, great. So exciting.
And they're really good. Well, I mean, I know you can't necessarily trust me saying that, but I am a person that sometimes can be like, oh my God, it sucks, and this is the end of my career. And I don't think that.
Great.
So,
well, if
that's
the
good.
Last episode was any indication, I'm so excited for what you turn out.
It's
next.
A lot. There's a lot coming.
We can't wait. Thank you so much
for being with us. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast.
If you liked Don, it's perspective. If you like Chucky, if you don't like Chucky, if you like nightmares, if you don't like nightmares, let us know in the comments that we talk about maybe.
But with civility.
Yes, with civility. Yes, but with civility. We'd love to read them. We'd love
no
to hear
death
your thoughts.
Threats.
Well, yeah, please don't do that. That's a good way to get yourself blocked. So don't do that. But you can like, subscribe, follow. Ring the bell. Ring the bell. I always leave it for you,
because
I really don't know what it means, but I'm learning. We air every Wednesday on YouTube and all audio platforms, but we also air full ad-free cuts on our Patreon on Monday. So if you like that, please subscribe. And until next time, I'm Catherine Corcoran.
And I'm James A. Janisse. Be sure to leave the light on.
Yeah.
Ha 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 ha